don't think there's that degree of specificity in these. And Christiana can correct me.
We're actually out of time.
Yeah, well. Is there a hand? I can't. Jay, could you? Jeez, it takes forever.
You have a quick question?
Jay, would you answer?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you may be making, I can't deny the possibility of what you're talking about, but at least in some of these, I think probably it had nothing to do with each other. You get the green animals, predators, and phytophthorus feeding on green plants.
Mm-hmm.
You get the same thing with brown animals feeding on brown plants, brown grasses, whatever. And so they may not have anything to do with predator-prey relationship, but rather adaptation to the substrate.
No.
To prevent predation from something else. And also, in something like this, you could have this kind of barring effect, which is a way to break up the
pattern. Oh, yeah, yes.
And
yeah.
Again, once again, you don't have a relationship
exactly.
Between the two. They're completely independent.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, you have them in these, from Mozambique and Florida.
I can't help, now I've got the floor again, I can't help but observe that in the recent groups like periophthalmos, or largest for the ophthalmos, I'm interested in the inferred results are completely different.
Well, I mean, it's like elidids, elidines, where the nymphs are ant mimetic, and the adults, to the extent that anybody seems to know, may be wasp mimetic when they fly. Nymphs are characteristically far much different from the adults. Feed on different, in many cases, feed on different plants, have different ways of life. Which, if you know, since they can't fly, to some extent is a difference that may be forced upon them.
So they're working on the same species. Better than I, but the most obvious red and black things that are characteristic of the species, almost nothing else does this. I mean,
yeah. Well, there are.
Really uncommon, by comparison, these groups for almost everybody.
Yeah, but it's somewhat more common. There's some adesines, for example, that are quite contrastingly and brightly colored. But you're right, as looking at the family as a whole, they are mostly green and brown and beautiful.
Thank you. One of our projects is involved in revising the genera of the family Celeonidae. And as we started designing this project and getting into it, decided that one of the things I wanted to do was to document, let me see if I get this straight now, the primary type specimens of the type species of all the genera of Celeonids so that we would have a visual image, visual documentation of what these things look like to the people who originally proposed them. So the idea was to take the pictures of the specimens and the labels and do it for all, I don't know, 300, 400 some odd genera of Celeonids. Now you can immediately see that there's a great rate limiting step here. There are some museums that simply will not send types out. There are some countries to which some museums will remain unnamed, will not send types. And even if you're dealing with somebody like the Natural History Museum, and they'll send you types, they'll do it in small lots at a time. And so it will take a lot of time to get hold of all these specimens. So I thought I had a great idea. And like most great ideas, I quickly discovered that lots of people had thought of it before me, which was, wouldn't it be nice? Well, we had an imaging system in the lab, but it was a big clunky thing. Wouldn't it be nice if I had an imaging system that I could take on the airplane, put it in the below seat storage area in front of you, have a mechanism where once I took the digital images, be able to upload them automatically to my database via some sort of imaginary satellite link, and basically just go to the museums, take the pictures, and be done with it. Well, that turned out to be impossible, but it also turned out that a lot of those tools were well on the way to being developed. Let me throw in a caveat here that I want to emphasize that I recognize that both line drawings and SEM and other means of illustration have their place and a very valuable place. But what we were particularly interested in was extended focus imaging. For us, it's rapid. I don't spend all day mounting in my models the way Matt does, but it's relatively rapid. For me, you get high quality images. The wasps that you'll see pictures of are generally in the order of 2 to 5 millimeters long, and that one there is about 3 millimeters long. And it causes no, doesn't require any special preparation and causes no damage to the specimens, obviously of great importance when you're talking about primary types. So that's the system that we're dealing with. And here I am in the South Australian Museum with Arthur Lee looking over my shoulder to make sure I'm not breaking any specimens. I've got a pile of drawers there that are full of primary types of Allan Dodd. And I wanted to show you just the system that I was using at that time. This is now 2004, and some changes have been made. We have a digital video. Digital video camera. The microscope there. Notice no eyepieces, so we don't have any parallax issues with this microscope. A mini computer. A motorized focus column, so I'm using an automated Z stepper so that I don't have to manually set shoot each image, just set the top and bottom and the number of images that I want to take and lean back away from the table and let it go. Lighting, at that point we were using fiber optics, we've now gone to the LED dome. Some highly technological light diffusers, which were yesterday's coffee cups with the bottoms cut out, we put over the specimens. The light domes now make this would, as Matt said, involve a lot of time fiddling around with the angle at which the fiber optics would be shot over the edge of the cup and getting it just right. Now we don't have this issue at all any longer. And of course, the most important thing, the highly qualified underpaid technical personnel who are going to be taking the pictures all day long. So I've described the hardware there. This was all designed by GT Vision, and I purchased both the hardware and the software from them. The initial system, the one you just saw in the picture, was using AutoMontage software. Now we're also using the combination of Cartograph and Archimed software to take the pictures. That image on the right is the system packed up and ready to go. There's a nice big backpack on the back, which I haul onto the airplane. That contains the microcomputer, all the little gadgets that everybody has, you know, a little mini keyboard, USB, memory sticks, and these kinds of things. But all the important and expensive hardware is in the Pelican case at the bottom. And if you look in that Pelican case, when it's fully packed, this system, as you saw, was a microcomputer, about yay big, and this tall dual processor, which was, it's really a fantastic computer for handling the images and coming up with the montage images. I mean, very quickly, we're talking 15 seconds or something once it has a stack of 25 pictures to take. So I like it a lot from that point of view. I don't like it a lot because it weighs about, I don't know, 10 pounds or something. I put it in the backpack. There's a separate screen that goes with it. I don't know why we were forced into that choice of hardware. The new system that we have has simply a laptop that would go in the backpack. So I think you see right in the middle is the screen for that microcomputer, which is packed in. You see the light source in one corner, the camera is tucked in here, spare bulb up in this corner, and let's take some of that out and look inside. You can see the stage for the microscope down on the bottom. The Z stepper column is, it's not going to cooperate. Z stepper column is tucked down in there too. It's a very compact system. I'm assured that this thing is leak proof. It's got padding. I never had any visible problem with any damage to this thing through shipping. I got little notes from TSA in it that they had looked at it and wondered what the hell it was, but that was about it. Oh, I forgot to say there, go back, please. The setup time for the whole system is about 20 minutes if I'm just setting it up. Usually, of course, you go into a museum and the first thing you do, well, one of the things you're doing at the same time is shaking hands and saying, hi, I haven't seen you in years. And so it may take up to an hour or two, depending on how many people drop in to see you. The tools for that system were exceptionally simple. A couple of crescent wrenches, a couple of screwdrivers, of which I only ever used two of them. I know what the other crescent wrench is for, but I have no idea what the other screwdriver is for. So it's a height of simplicity. The new system that we have has no tools. So it gets even easier. And of course, if you go into foreign countries, you have to be equipped properly. Actually, you know where you're going in advance. And so there's a little cheat sheet that goes along with this pack that GT Vision supplied me. And you just pull out the adapters that you're going to use. One thing I learned in traveling to Australia is to be sure that your power strip also can fit in that. Turned out they didn't give me that initially, so I had to buy one in Brisbane, the International Congress, for which they reimbursed me, and I've got an Australian power strip to go along with it. Our protocols for each of these types is to take a minimum of 5 standard images, have it as from top and the side, focus in on the head and mesosoma from the top and the side, take a picture of the face, and then if there's some particular taxonomically important characters that we know about and that are visible in the specimens, then we'll focus in on those. Documentation, of course, you've got to get your metadata to go along with this. So each of those images has associated with it the name of the taxon, the specimen ID, if it has one, or if we give it one. In the case of holotypes, it's usually not an issue because it's rare that I found more than one holotype for a species. Rare, but not unknown. The actual type status, syntype, holotype, neotype, etc., who's doing the work, so I know who to blame, and what the magnification was of the image. And I basically store these in the computer either as properties of the image, in the case of automontage, and also the images themselves.